This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
So we got another game against another championship contending team, actually the championship, the champion team, obviously from last season, the Milwaukee Bucks. This is going to be a rough game for us, but I feel like we always come up ready to play when we play against the Bucks. Maybe that's just because of what Justin Jackson did last year, but I kind of feel like this is a game that is always a kind of a winnable game. Maybe it's just because we match up really well against them. I don't know. Maybe we just step up to the occasion because they're a championship team. So I don't know what it is, Mark, but it's going to be a fun game, I feel like.
I think the last couple of games have shown that, you know, when teams shoot well against us, you know, they're gonna play really good. They're probably going to beat us. But if we can lock down the three-point line, you know, lock down the paint and make teams take the shots we want them to, then we've got a chance. So this is a defensive thing. Yeah, let's get out there and beat the Bucks. That would be fun. But in the end, it would be nice if we found ourselves in a better position than we did, you know, throughout the first three quarters of that game the other night. You know, it's one of those things where when Bogdanovich goes out there and knocks down 11 threes, and you're like, well, I mean, that stuff happens. But you also have to demand more of yourself on a level where you're defending the three-point line. And they were able to get the shots they wanted from the spots they wanted. And a big part of that was our inability to disrupt their offense. So can we do it? I don't know. We'll see. We got to come out and play against, like you said, a championship level team. Can we compete for four quarters? Can we defend at a high level? Can we lock down that paint? I think we can do all those things. And if we do, then we'll be in it and we'll have a chance to win it at the end.
Yeah, and Giannis is a different type of big man at that 7'2" that really handles the rock like a guard. So he creates a huge disadvantage for us in the paint because we're just not used to a big man being able to do that. So again, we'll see how that goes. I think that the Thunder will come out there with a great game plan. Coach D comes, you know, ready for every game. So it's going to be interesting to see. We have a couple updates in the injury list right here. So Derek Favors just got upgraded to out against Milwaukee tonight. And then you have Isaiah Roby, who is questionable against Milwaukee. You know, I believe unless Isaiah is 100%, he's going to be off out of this game. So we will probably won't see him. You know, still nothing's new with Ty, Kenny, Lou, Josh, Mike, or Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, according to my calendar, we're talking about a time that should be coming up here really quickly for him to be reevaluated. I think we're pretty much at that 5-week mark or even 6-week mark right now. So that's going to happen really quickly here. Obviously, we want to see him get healthy and get back. Foot injuries are funky, so I wouldn't be too surprised if they decided to hold him off the rest of the season.
Yeah, for JRE, he's already proven a lot this year. If he comes back, that'll be a big bonus for the team. They could definitely benefit from having someone with his skill set, especially when we're so shorthanded. But what's best for him, that doesn't really play into the fact that we're shorthanded. So, yeah, there totally could be an opportunity for him to sit out for the rest of the season or to come back and play the last few games. Kind of like the same thing we're looking at with Josh Giddey, where we're looking at the end of the season and working backwards and thinking how many games can we get to, you know, to have him to help his progression. But, you know, a guy like Aaron Wiggins coming back, that timing is really good. That worked out really well. And it was a shorter ankle sprain than the last one. And we'll see what happens. I mean, the guy played at a really high level. And, you know, we've got back-to-back games coming up. So it's really important to have Aaron Wiggins out there.
Yeah, and maybe just for one of those two games. Personally, like these young guys are injured right now. Back-to-back games, which I think this is one of three that we have left. One of three that we have left. So we have one that's coming up here right after this next one. So it's going to be back-to-back three-point doubleheaders, so I think we have like three or four games in between. Anyways, we have a few of these left, and it's going to be interesting to see how we play with them, because obviously we're going to be bringing guys back from injury during these times that we have these back-to-back doubleheaders. So it's going to be interesting, because, I seeing how this team has dealt with the injuries before, to me, I just want to just kind of like, in a way, focus on what we have at hand. Like, our lineups that we're bringing out there seem to be doing well. I mean, we took the Jazz, and yeah, the Jazz lost last night, but we took Jazz to a really good game. We've been able to do this game in, game out, minus one game that, you know, against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where we got blown up by 37. But everything else, man, it seems like we have an opportunity to be in the game in that fourth quarter. And it's crucial, because we don't have, three of our, even four of our starters out there. So it's been interesting to see how this team's rolling. The other day, we didn't talk about it, but we only scored 18 points from our bench, ending our 20 point run from our bench. And, you know, that was really a great run, and I'm ready for another one, because last night or the other night, we scored 30 from our bench, starting again another record there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Timberwolves, and that's who we play on the second part of our back-to-back tonight or tomorrow night. So what do we need to do to play better against the Timberwolves? You mentioned the 37-point defeat. Obviously, we don't want to see that again.
Man, it's just about making the adjustments that we got beat out on this last time. I look at this game, and it's like Minnesota came out with a really great game plan. They executed it, and they didn't have a lot of trouble with their game plan. I mean, they didn't have to change many things to work around us. And I think that's where we need to come out, is we needed to disturb that flow that's happening within their system. And last game, you know, putting up 138 points, we did not do anything to stop that. And I think that we just need to come out there and playing a different style of basketball against the Timberwolves. The same style of basketball that we played against Utah or Denver doesn't work against Minnesota. So we have to come out there and play a different style. And Coach D will be all over that. That has a lot to do with the coaching, where the coaches are and how they change the systems to play certain teams. So I do think that Coach is going to make that adjustment so that we can play against Minnesota in a much more close game. Hopefully we can win, but, you know, who really knows?
Yo, one thing that we saw already happen this year was, you know, that game against Memphis where we lost by, I think, 71 points or something. You know, we bounced back, and the next time we played Memphis, they had Ja back, and he didn't have a good game, but we were able to play the Grizzlies a great game, and we went on to win the game. And that's something that I've noticed with this team, is when we get beaten bad, they come out and they're able to adjust. So I'm with you, man. Of course, we got to figure out what to do. Those adjustments will come, but really what it comes down to when you make adjustments is execution. And execution comes down to focus on detail. So if you think about it, our ability to overcome the next game after back-to-back against the Timberwolves will say a lot about, first of all, where this coaching staff is, but also where this young roster is at, because we've seen it before. But let's face it, the team that we saw play the Memphis Grizzlies the second time is quite different than the team we're playing out there now. So this group having that game close to the other one, it's basically the same group of guys that will be out there playing again, and that's important. That will give them opportunities, the building blocks that they need to continue to improve. So I'm excited about it. But coming back to this Milwaukee game, anytime you get a chance to play against a generational talent like Giannis, there's going to be some questions about how you're going to defend him. So who are we going to put on Giannis from the tip-off, Dave?
If Isaiah Roby's out there, it'll be Isaiah Roby. If it's not, you have to start off with probably Bazley, Poku. Sar's been playing really well. Get Sar some minutes against him. So, you know, it's going to be really defensive by committee.
I'm thinking Poku. Bazley, right? I mean, they're probably going to start off with Bazley, right?
But here's the thing about Bazley, though, right? Is they might try to put him at the power forward position because he might be better there in moving Sar to the center. Or they might try to move Poku to that center position to, you know, slow him down so he can't take that jump mid jump shot. Like, I don't know how they're going to play him, but I do know that it's going to be really defensive by committee. I don't think it's going to be one person. I think it's going to be people running in and out trying to tire him out. you know, playing 5-6 minutes against him and then switching up, whether that's Baisley starting off the game and then switching over to Poku or bringing Sar in the game. And, you know, whatever the rotation will be, is no one person is going to have to play Giannis for, you know, an enormous amount of time. It will just be a rotation on him trying to slow him down.
Right on, man. And obviously they have more than just that. They have a really efficient offense that gets opportunities for their shooters in the spots they want them. And that's something that we've struggled with of lately. You know, it's just defending that three-point line. That's basically the success of this team is, you know, if we can cause misses or not. So that's what we're looking for. We're trying to figure out how we can, you know, compete for four quarters. This is what we always say, right? Get out there and have a chance to get a win. We understand, you know, in a season where you get 20 wins so far, you know, that's the highest honor, is like getting yourself in a chance where you have a chance to win those games. And if you do that, then you succeeded, you know, getting that next level of getting those wins. Well, you know, if you get them, that's a bonus, but it's not all about wins. It's about competing for four quarters.
Looking at the stats and kind of looking at seeing how these guys are comparing, again, I'm just dumbfounded by Josh Giddey's efficientness. If you're looking up at assist, leading assist for Milwaukee is Drew Holiday, averaging 6.7 assists a game. Josh Giddey's averaging 6.4 a game. And then you got rebounds. And yeah, Giannis is averaging 3.5 more rebounds a game than Josh. But where the offensive rebounds come in is really impressive. Josh is averaging 1.8 offensive rebounds a game. Giannis is averaging 2. Again, that's just a phenomenal success right there for Josh. It's something that I'm really proud of him as a player out there and doing the things that he's doing. And then you look over at Shea, who's leading our team at 24 points a game right now. Just unbelievable basketball. He's shooting 44%. And, you know, that's comparatively to Giannis, who's averaging 29 points a game and shooting 54%. So, again, looking at Shea and how, you know, unbelievable he is by getting to that lane and getting these, easy shots to go in is why he's so successful right now. 44% is unheard of for a point guard in the way that he is playing. A lot of these point guards nowadays, they shoot a lot of the shots, so their field goal percentage at the end of the game isn't typically as high as 40 or 50% like you see what Shea is right now. So again, this is just a really great job by Shea, is recognizing where his game's at and where it's going, and, you know, stacking up against the other greats of the NBA. It's just fun to see.
Yeah, man, and 33 points a game since the All-Star break. And really, for us, that's when, you know, we look at it and we say this is the beginning of the campaign for the next All-Star game. So we're excited about what he's been able to do. Like, if he can keep it up, lead us, this team, to a win, he's going to continue to get a lot of attention, and he deserves it. So we're big fans of that. And, you know, Trey Mann is due for a big game. So I feel like we're on the 40-point game night watch for Trey Mann. We've been on that for a while. It's going to happen soon. It could happen any night. Wiggins has been playing good for what we've seen of him back, so we're excited about having that, you know, that level of guard. So that seems like those are our three guards. I mean, Wiggins is starting at small forward. As far as Baisley and Poku, those two guys seem like they've, you know, kind of moved into that starting position without Roby out there. If Roby's back, obviously we'll see something different. But these guys, they're so young, and they're so committed to playing together that it's very interesting to see how this is rolling out. But yeah, I mean, definitely a good option to see. I mean, will we see Poku at the 4, Baisley at the 5, and then, you know, Baisley matching up with Giannis, or Poku matching up with Giannis, and then coming back, we're playing the Timberwolves, and we've got to find a way to stop Towns and keep that paint locked down, but also defend the 3-point line. I mean, these teams are tough, man, and we got to figure it out. So it's going to take some practice, some patience, and some practice, but I got a lot of confidence in this coaching staff.
Yeah, and tonight I think it's going to come down to the game with the way that Drew Holiday plays defense and the way that he plays offense. It's almost like a Dort type player out there. So with that being said, is that I think he's going to, Coach D is just going to try to get Shea off of Drew a lot. Allow maybe Trey Mann to go up against Drew, or maybe bring up one of the big men, Baisley or something like that, Poku, to play against Baisley or Drew Holiday. Because here's the reality, is that Shea playing against Drew, the entire game is going to wear on Shea. It's going to really wear him down. So I look for that to happen. I would love to see Trey Mann play a lot of point guard tonight so that Drew Holiday plays against him, allowing Shea to play off the ball and Trey to take a lot of the abuse in and physical contact that Drew's going to bring him. So look for those two matchups. As far as who's going to score 40 points or not, if there's one player tonight that I feel like is going to score 40, no doubt without blinking, that's Shea. He is setting up for that 40-point game. He's gotten close a couple times, but he's ready for that. I feel like this is a perfect game where everybody's watching, and it's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, we're pumped up about it, man, for sure. And, I mean, all I can say is I'm ready to see some more basketball.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got some interesting stuff coming up here on the schedule, Mark. I feel like we would be kind of remorse not to talk about it because I feel like we have big-time winnable games. If we could get a couple of our healthy guys back, you know, looking at where we're at right now, we talked about 30 wins, and that's still possible because we've won three games since the All-Star or four games since the All-Star break. But looking at it, man, like, I'm just more concerned that this team is going to get healthy, you know, for next year. And as far as winning 30 games, I don't really give a shit about that. Right now, looking at it, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Memphis, Charlotte, San Antonio, Miami, Orlando, Boston, Orlando, Denver, Portland, Atlanta, Detroit, Phoenix, Portland, Utah, Los Angeles, and Clippers last. So, you know, there's a lot of winnable games in there, but there's also a lot of pitfalls. And, you know, any one of those pitfalls could really hit us back for a while. But I'm excited, man. This is some basketball that we're going to have to break down and watch and get ready for the draft, because this is really going to be the deciding factor of what type of player we're going to go after in the draft. If things go right and we get the top pick of the draft, it will be fun to be able to break that down and talk about who we think is going to get drafted by the Thunder. But the reality is we got these last games right here. One more month of basketball, 30 days, 32 days, and that's it. So we're going to enjoy it, and we'll see how it goes in a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, definitely, you know, when you look at the games we have left, it's obvious that it's going to be a struggle to even get, you know, a couple more wins. But when I look at what happened after the All-Star break, you know, we got one game of Giddey and Shea. And if we had gotten, you know, Giddey, if he had stayed healthy, bro, if we had gotten him all this time, we would have won more games. So, yeah, like, we hung on to it. You know, we were able to get a couple of wins, and we were still hoping that we could get to that, you know, 10 wins after the All-Star break. And we're still hoping we can figure out how to get there. But it's, you know, it's not the same situation without Giddey out there. And, you know, having him out there without Shea and then getting to see them even for one game together, I'm probably going to watch that game like 10 times in the offseason. I hope we get some more, but if we don't, if that's it, you know, those awkward possessions where they were kind of like, you go, that'll be all we have, but it'll be a building block, and that's what we're looking for, just some glimpses, some little opportunities to see what the future might look like.
Yeah, with Shea and Josh, these guys are going to play on the offseason, so they're going to learn, you know, what Coach D wants them to play and the roles they want to play, giving Shea more time to shift or giving Josh Giddey more time to play with the ball or off the ball. So whatever they decide, they'll have this entire offseason to work on and really work towards that. But the fact is that we're seeing a transition from this Thunder team that Mark and I didn't expect to see for a couple of years. And that's Josh Giddey taking over as that lead guard position. You know, Mark and I saw in the beginning when, you know, we're talking about it, we're like, okay, listen, reality is that most Thunder players that come through come off the bench to start their career off the bench. So we were like, okay, it would be great for Josh to come in the games for 20 minutes a game or whatever. And then he was starting. You know, and then it was like, okay, it would be great for him to get a triple-double, you know, and then he got four of them. So, again, there's so many things that he has done and exceeded that, to me, like, going into the offseason, this team is going to get better. They're going to come out with more fire. Whoever we all add into the offseason and draft, it's going to make us better. And, you know, for us to say that this team isn't going to win 40 games would be silly, because I don't think there's any chance that next year we don't win 40 games just because of what we could have done this year if we had stayed healthy. And that's what's insane, is that we could have won 33 games, 34 games if we were healthy this year, the entire season. And I love it, because that's where this team is turning towards, is getting to that moment where there's no asterisk in front of our name of a rebuild, or some, as some Oklahoma City Thunder people like to call it, tanking. And there is no asterisk in front of us anymore. And that's what's going to happen at the end of this year, is that teams are going to look at us and be like, this is not a rebuilding Thunder anymore. This is a, we're going to compete Thunder team. And to me, that's what's exciting, is hearing these other broadcasters say this, exactly what I'm saying right now, is nice, because they're all understanding and recognizing that this Thunder team is going to be an exciting team to see next year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And these guys have been working really hard, and, you know, they're playing at a really high level, even though we've had a lot of issues staying healthy. But the things, the fundamentals that we're seeing this team, you know, execute are really important to, you know, have an idea of what will happen when we do get healthy. If our roster plays at a high level without everybody, then we can anticipate that we will pick up where they left off when we get them back. And watching how well Coach Dagnall has developed the end of the bench is really critical for us as we bring in new players. So, you know, if I had a kid that was in the draft, or if I was in the draft myself, the idea of going to the Thunder would seem pretty intriguing. It would seem like the place to be, because their commitment to giving young players opportunities, those types of things are rare. And the people who are the beneficiaries of that are going to go on to have long NBA careers, because other teams will notice that they can play these roles, and those roles are hard to find people to fill. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's been an intriguing season. Last year was, you know, really intriguing. This year kind of took a little bit of a different format, but we kind of find ourselves in a similar place as far as wins go. But with SGA out there playing right now, our expectation is that we're going to be able to continue to win a few games here and there. So that's the goal. That's what we want to see. That's what we're, you know, living for right now. And, you know, the next two games, if we could squeeze one of those out of there, then we definitely have exceeded everybody's expectations. So that's what we're looking for right now.
Yeah. And all the holes that Mark and I looked at the beginning of the season that we had, and question marks that we had, really have been filled up. And it was surprising that the way they were filled up by, I wasn't expecting it yet again. And I felt like the fill up where it's going to come from was going to be some trades that we're going to pick up some players, or the, you know, off season. I did not expect this rookie class to be as good and as fluent as they are. We have 6 or 7 rookies that have gotten a lot of playing time, man. And what they've done is truly spectacular. JRE shoring up that center / power forward position. You have Aaron Wiggins. I mean, phenomenal job there, getting a starting position under his belt. You have Trey Mann, who has stepped up in a huge way, being our second scorer out there when everybody else has been injured. You know, we could go on here. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about this rookie class, is we have 6 deep, and I only cover 3 or 4 of them right now. And Josh Giddey, obviously. I mean, come on, obviously. So, to me, looking at this group right here, it's truly spectacular how we filled a lot of our holes that we had in a draft. Like, and not only that, but we were traded our second pick in the first round. We traded that away and still walked away like bandits. And I think that's what's most important about everything, and seeing how everything is rolling, is we really stepped up our game in the draft. We really stepped it up in a huge way. And now we're looking at going into this offseason, and we have, you know, a ton of draft capital yet again. And looking at Sam Presti, like, I heard it the other day. I heard it against Utah or Minnesota, whoever it was, said, you know, he might not get the first pick of the draft, but he's still going to get a top 3 player in the draft. And I think that's what's important, is that, you know, going into that, it's you have to trust the process. You have to trust Sam Presti. You have to trust everything that's happening in there, and everything will look right, because these 6 rookies, bro, they're going to be, some of these guys are going to be on the team for a very, very long time. And this is going to be known as one of the best drafts we've ever had because of what Sam Presti did.
Yeah, we saw, you know, on top of that, we saw Vit Krejci, you know, have his rookie year, even though he was drafted last year. We've seen Lindy Waters go on and play very well for his minutes. So
Oliver Saar.
I think Saar is a rookie.
Yep.
It just keeps going. The list of contributions we've gotten from players that are just getting their first NBA minutes is pretty incredible, but it's also a great opportunity for them. And that's what I'm really proud of, you know, seeing how well individually they've responded, you know, and it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun getting to know all these guys, and you never know which ones are going to stick around. But if you see their game and you know, see a few things that they do well, you can kind of guess that they're going to stick around in the NBA. So we're big fans of it, and we enjoy it. And, you know, every day is a new adventure with this team.
Well, it's you have to go with a blank slate every game, every season, every month, every week. You have to really go with a blank slate because this is a young team still. So understanding that, knowing that, and seeing how the Oklahoma City Thunder practice it is pretty cool. So, you know, I look at the schedule, man. You got Orlando twice, Portland twice, and Detroit once. Those are the five games that I feel like we can win without even blinking. The rest of them, man, it's going to be a crapshoot. So even at this point, 25 wins. This is what's crazy about this. I was looking at it, man. It doesn't even move us. If nobody else wins a game, we will go ahead of Sacramento Kings, and that's the only spot that we'll lose in that playoff, or not the playoff, the draft order there. So again, this is where it's going to come down to, is I don't think the Sacramento Kings are going to go winless the rest of the game. So we're going to have a lot of space to be able to win and go out there and compete every single game. It's what we're trying to do. It's the process of trying to get out there, get some wins under our belt before next season so that we can take that and ride that pony to next year.
For sure, man. And, you know, it's important, you know, as the draft gets closer, it's easy to get excited about the potential of a great pick. And I'm sure we're going to end up with a great pick, but we don't want to get too amped about it too soon because of the fact that the lottery odds have been flattened so much that it really can create all sorts of issues. So, you know, all the people who got so disappointed by not getting a top five pick last year can speak to the importance of, you know, tempering expectations until we get to that point where the lottery is taking place. And then, you know, we can have some fun with it. But right now, we just want to see this team continue to compete, and we're going to cheer for them to win because we know all those people who go to the games and all the fans and everything in the team, the organization, the players, you know, they're competing for a win. So that's what we're focused on too. So thanks again for joining us, everybody, and we're going to see you tomorrow after the game. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.